Good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Habayim. Welcome, fellow community members, parents, friends, Chaverim Yedidim. It is an honor to join all of you tonight as we have the opportunity to listen in on a conversation with phenomenal mechanchim and role models, people to whom so many of us look to, not just to educate our children, but to be role models for us in the community. Chaverim Yedidim, friends of mine, personal role models, Rabbi Menachem Linzer, principal of Hillel Torah, and Rabbi Menachem Kirshner is the Limudei Kodesh principal of Ari Crown Hebrew Day School. So thank you so much, first of all, Rabbi Linzer and Rabbi Kirshner, for being part of tonight's discussion and opening up not just on a professional level, but also on a personal level, as we're all just trying. We're trying to grow in our Avodas Hashem. We're trying to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Tefillah, of course, is a big part of this avoda and this aspiration, this challenge, this journey. And so to hear from the two of you, we greatly appreciate the time, the organization, the carving out from your very busy schedules, the difficult things that you're juggling all the time. To make time for this, it's a gift to the Kollel, it's a gift to the community. So we thank you both and welcome. And so maybe we'll get right to it. It's a conversation, it's a back and forth. So we've got several issues that we want to talk about, both on the educational side, but maybe let's start on the personal side. Rabbi Linzer, maybe tell us a little bit about your own experience of tefillah and something that is very meaningful to you. What's a tefillah that you enjoy, that's resonant, that's meaningful to you on a personal level?
Thank you so much, Rabbi Brand. It's great to be here, and it's a kavod to be together with Rabbi Kirshner. And as I told I sent an email to the Hillel Torah community, I said, spoiler alert, there's not going to be any magical answers here tonight. I think we're here to learn from each other, and we're here to discuss and to be inspired, and hopefully to have a meaningful conversation. In terms of a tefillah that speaks to me, I would say pretty simple. Moda'ani is just a very powerful moment of my day, waking up in the morning and just pausing to really reflect and appreciate that opportunity to wake up in the morning and appreciating Hashem in my life. For Shabbos, I would say Nishmas, that we say at the end of Sukkot is Zimra, is a very, very meaningful tefillah. And in general, I am someone who loves Nusach HaTefillah, very big believer in Nusach HaTefillah, so anything that has a special nusach, it really hits home for me, whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tovim or Yom Norim or Shani Yom Kippur, Shol Shergolim, anything with nusach is something that really is meaningful to me.
Beautiful. That's great. Ta'ara. I should note that both Rabbi Linzer and Rabbi Kirshner are noted Balei Tefillah. So that's an added element we have here. Rabbi Kirshner, welcome aboard. Good evening. Thanks for being here. What do you find? What's in a tefillah that really speaks to you?
Okay, first, I will also just echo Rabbi Linzer. Thank you for having me on, and definitely came to be inspired by Rabbi Linzer, as I'm sure everybody that's joined has as well. But I like to throw in my own two cents also. So thanks for letting me share the spotlight. When it comes to tefillos, I can echo almost exactly what Rabbi Linzer just said. There's the weekday tefillos, and then there's the Shabbos or seasonal tefillos that you know sort of speak to different people. I'm not awake by the time I say Modani in the morning yet. I just sort of say it, but a little bit after that, Bahar Ivna is something that's very powerful to me, where you have the ability. I bedavka do not say Berachos HaTorah. I shouldn't say always, but I try not to say Berachos HaTorah till I'm in the makom tefillah that we daven in school. And then when you can stand there and say v'niyah nachnu v'tzatzoeinu v'tzatzoei amcha beis Yisrael koni yodei shemecha, I feel like it's a very powerful thing. Obviously, I'm davening for my own family, my own children, but for the klal, I feel that's something. And then I would throw in a secret of tefillah that I discovered that I think most people probably just say more rotely, and you know, one of those tefillahs that at some point came to me and I really connect to it, and that's the tefillah of Hashkivenu. At night, when we say Hashkivenu, We can really just think about the words, just like the rest of the tefillos. It's obviously a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, but things that we can ask Hashem for. There's so many things in Hashkiveinu that I think speak to me. And Nishmas, 100%, same thing. And then there's the famous story that they talk about. The Rebbe says to go say Ana Hashem with a lot of kavana and halal. So when you say seasonal, so I've allowed the Rebbe that I don't remember who it was, but I allowed that Rebbe to say Ana, gave everybody else Ana Hashem kani abdecha, so that I steal now Ana Hashem oshiyana Ana Hashem atzlicha again. So I feel like nobody else focuses on that. Everyone focuses on Ana Hashem kani avdecha. So Ana Hashem oshiyana Ana Hashem atzlichana. I think it's time to really think about the things that you need in your life that you want help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'll add just that what you're providing for all of our listeners is really, it's very important and it's very impactful. Just a quick anecdote. This is the second in a two-part series. After our last conversation with Rabbi Stromer and Rabbi Zerman, one of the members of the community, a parent of a day school child, reached out to me with a WhatsApp message to say, I was so moved listening to that conversation that I just started to be more miskaven in my tefillah. And he came up with an einfall I never heard of. He says, now every day he has a schedule during the week, what he wants to focus on. Sunday, special focus in davening on himself. Monday on his marriage, his wife. Tuesday on his children, Wednesday on his parents. I thought it was such an amazing idea. So I think just realizing that, Rabbi Linzer for the Moda Ani or for the Ana Hashem, Rabbi Kirshner, I think these ways, these tiny little things are ways that hopefully people can find their own path. So if it's not Moda Ani for someone, so maybe it's going to be the Vaharivna. And if it's not the Vaharivna, maybe it's going to be, Rifainu. Something is going on in somebody's life. But I think the idea that if we give some suggestions, we give opportunities for people to explore and experiment and think about davening, you never know what people are going to come up with, what that suggestion. I thought that was amazing. It was totally amazing after our last session.
It's beautiful. And you just made me think of something, if I may add. I don't know if we could add before the next question. Okay.
Let's go. This is a conversation.
So what Rabbi Kirshner mentioned about Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, and combine it with what you just said, Rabbi Brand, my father once told me years ago, when he says Ana Hashem Hoshiyana the two times, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, each time he thinks about like a different group, what they need. Like maybe one time it's for him personally and his family, maybe one time it's for people who are, struggling to have children. Maybe one time it's for the Eretz Yisrael, but that idea, you have four times, basically, a little different, Hoshiyana, Tzlichana, but you have four bakashos there, and you can really direct them and really think about not just oneself, but also oneself, but really think about other people in our community and who we know who need our tefillos.
So it's beautiful, especially knowing your father. I can envision that a little bit during davening. So let's talk about davening today, and that we face challenges that perhaps others, and even in elementary school, others didn't face in previous doros and previous generations. So what do you find are challenges which exist now, specifically in the realm of technology? And then what are some ways that we can address them for ourselves and think about then as it relates to our children? Rabbi Kirshner, you want to take a first crack at that?
Sure. The truth is that I'm not sure that I fully understand the question as it relates to tefillah, because technology's so it's in many ways it's taken over the world. I daven very often at Adas Yeshurun, and I remember Rabbi Kohn Shlita once, in one of his drushas, this is at the beginning when he was on fire about no cell phones in shul. So one of the drushas that he gave was imagine you're in the middle of you're in the base medrash learning, you're in the shul learning, and all of a sudden two workmen come in, and they bring and they go right up to the next to the Aron Kodesh, and they start installing something, and you see that they're installing a payphone in the good old days. They're installing a payphone right next to the Aron Kodesh. Can you imagine anyone ever going over to that payphone and using it in the middle of davening? So, like, what's the difference? What's the difference? So, to that extent, the Yetzer Hara that we have to have our phones in shul is Yetzer Hara that we have to get rid of. I think Baruch Hashem most shuls have stopped. You know, have stopped allowing cell phones in shul, and most people have taken upon themselves to put their phones away. And those that haven't, let's be mechazik ourselves, I guess, too. But in that realm, I think that's the biggest nisayon when it comes to davening. When you're in shul, plug into Hashem. Don't be plugged into devices. Otherwise, maybe we have to set alarms to make sure that our kids are off of Roblox so they can make sure to get to Minchar Marv.
I'll echo that. Yeah, I agree. Definitely the idea of our generation and all of us included just being more distracted than ever. You read Sfarim, they talk about Kavana being such a challenge in davening hundreds of years ago. You know, it's like exponentially, you know, more challenging to focus on anything. You know, the attention span is so tiny. In addition to that, I think there's like an interesting twist. I don't know how much it plays into elementary school age, but maybe it does. But in general, and I think maybe more to adults, truthfully, the idea of technology in general in our world, think about how far we've come, industrial revolution and where we're at, digital age. We have so much control, or at least we have the illusion that we have so much control over everything in our lives, right? Now, even I could control my lights, my alarm, my thermostat, everything from my phone. You know, I could control everything, you know. And when there's something we can't control, we get very frustrated, you know, like, why isn't it working? Why isn't, you know, the thing talking to the satellite, like, why isn't it working right now, you know? So, and I think tefillah, part of really what tefillah is about, like on a deep level, it's realizing that Ribbono Shel'olam is in control. And surrendering to Ribbono Shel'olam, and you know, certainly bakashos would feel, that's sort of like the premise, right, of tefillah, right? So I think on like more, on sort of like a philosophical or like a deep level, there's a little bit of the more we feel we're in control of things, which was always a human issue, but like technology has only exacerbated that, you know, makes it even harder to kind of take the appropriate posture when we enter the space of tefillah. So we really have to like be mindful to like kind of put that mindset aside and realize that, you know, we're Ka'ani ba-Pesach. Not sure if that, you know, is so relevant to young kids, but certainly as we all get older, I think that plays in somewhat.
Yeah, I think it's not coincidental that the word olam and the word he'elem are the same word. As the world develops, the revulsion becomes more and more hidden. And so as the technological advances obscure our vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to make a greater effort to see. You know, it's not, I think it's totally appropriate. It's not accidental. It's interesting that Brachos, the first tractate in all of Shas, is put in Seder Zeraim, which the Gemara refers to as Emuna. So Brachos and Davening are an expression of Emuna, which is something that we need to cultivate. So let's talk specifically about those who have elementary school children at home, leaving aside the technology issues, as Rabbi Kirshner said, in terms of just being present without the phone, putting it on, you know, airplane mode, leaving it outside, giving yourself some space. And as Rabbi Linzer said, the pizur hanefesh that we have today, the lack of attention span. So leaving those things at the door for a second, let's just talk about basic chinuch for tefillah for our children at that age, the elementary school age, which on the one hand, for emunah zeh seder zeraim, for younger children, sometimes emunah is easier. On the other hand, tapping in what it means to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam might be more difficult. So, Rabbi Linzer, you want to start hadracha toward those of us with elementary school kids?
Sure. As I said in the beginning, you know, this is, we're just going to share some reflections, but there's certainly no easy answers here. When I think about tefillah and children, I think it's important to broaden the issue. Meaning, I know tonight's topic is tefillah, but tefillah is not really about tefillah. Tefillah is really one aspect of relating to Hashem. When we talk about tefillah, the priority, I think for us as educators, as parents, it shouldn't just be about davening. It's not, you have to daven. Did you daven? Did that? Yes, of course, all that's going to be important. We'll talk about that. But it's really the deeper issue. The bigger picture is helping our children and ourselves, of course, but develop and strengthen and continue to grow in our relationship with Hashem. That's really what it's about. Tefillah is an amazing tool for that. And it's an amazing expression of that. But that's really what it's about. So I think that's really the most important thing, to understand what we're talking about here and why it's important. Tefillah is important because of that. It's not important because you have to say every word or whatever it is, you know, it's all in service of that bigger goal of really our relationship with Hashem. I think when you have, another important thing about tefillah, I think, and really everything that, educational, is the psychological idea of what's developmentally appropriate at each age. So you have that, there's many psychologists that have that, and there's also on the spiritual level, there's spiritual development. So what's appropriate for, for a 5-year-old is not the same for an 8-year-old and for a 12-year-old and for a 15-year-old. And the same thing with davening. We shouldn't expect a 5-year-old to daven like a 10-year-old, et cetera. So, we have to kind of meet each child where they're at. When kids are younger, they're more concrete. As they get older, it's more abstract. So when they're younger, it's a lot about mechanics. What do you do in davening? How do you daven? Saying the words, understanding the shul norms, standing, sitting, as they get bar mitzvah age, learning how to be a gabbai is very exciting, getting involved, getting engaged, all those kinds of things. And slowly starting to also weave in age-appropriate level the kavana of davening. Like, what's the main, we said, modani, The kid could understand that at a young age. And then when they get older, maybe you understand it on a deeper level. So realizing that tefillah is not the same at every stage of life. And honestly, for us as adults, for me, when I was, a certain age, I was a young adult, and then a little later, and then I have young kids, now older, tefillah has changed for me. So, it's kind of sort of sending that message to our kids, just throwing out a few thoughts. And I'm going to hand this one back to Rabbi Kirshner to add some thoughts, and we could go back and forth on this one. It's a big, big topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I would say this is probably the crux of why Rabbi Linzer and I were asked to join, we daven with little kids. We get to see how they daven. You get to walk through the halls of schools and see how they daven. And I would just say that of the most meaningful times that that we could have as administrators in schools is likely, and I'm sure Rabbi Linzer will agree with me. I could have a rough morning or a rough something going on, and all you have to do is go into a classroom and just sit for 5 minutes of an amazing, sheer, Chumash lesson or whatever it is. And it like changes your whole mood. So I think davening is of the greatest in that regard. You walk down the halls first thing in the morning and you hear those songs coming from the classrooms. You hear the davening coming from the classrooms. That's the best. And I really think that that's how kids connect to davening at the youngest ages. It's through song. And the more we do that, the better. It's a little bit of an anomaly that one of the things that we do in Ari Crown is that we do say a lot of davening out loud. We do say a number of things, even in the minyan level, besides for waiting the Kriya Shema. There's just throughout davening, there's random tefillos that we say out loud, and that keeps the momentum of the tefillah going. So with elementary school kids, younger kids, I think that's a very important piece. The singing piece, the saying things together piece, so that everyone stays on the same page. But very often also, I think one of the things that we point out, or I've pointed out many times to the students, is there's a concept of a Sur Meirah and an Aseh Tov, and that certainly applies to tefillah. When it comes to davening, you have to first accept upon yourself the Sur Meirah part. Coming to shul, there's such the temptation to immediately sitting with your friends, you're sitting with whoever it is, and you want to talk to them, And if you're someone that's mekabel upon yourself, no, I'm not going to be, I'm just not going to be using that opportunity to talk, because now's my time to talk to Hashem, and there's a kiddush later, or there's the walk home or whatever it is, then we can talk then. So that Sur Meiraz is crucial. And setting yourself up for a proper davening is a crucial piece to that. And then you can get to the Asei Tov. And the Asei Tov here is obviously to slowly develop a meaningful tefillah for yourself. There's so many things that can be done on the realm of building your tefillah and making the tefillah more meaningful throughout. Different years we've done different things. One year we, Dafko, went through one tefillah a week, where we focused on that tefillah, and we would say that tefillah particularly out loud, slower together, to make sure we knew how to read that tefillah properly. And every day before Sukkot Zimra, we would just give a 2-minute piece on that tefillah. And that would help. That was something we've done in the past. Now, at the end of davening, we have a Hilchos tefillah for 2 minutes or less, hopefully even 1 minute or less, just something to focus on, to help us focus on our tefillah, just to bring out the technical aspects. So various things that we can do to slowly build up the momentum to the students. But I agree 100% mostly with Rabbi Linzer laid the foundation of tefillah is going to be different for different people at different stages of their life. And we're talking about the elementary stage. It's less about them knowing the translation of the tefillah and more about them learning the tefillahs. And as they're developing, those tefillahs will become much more a part of them. And yes, they'll learn the translations. And yes, the translations will just come to them. Like I said before, Ashkivenu, it just came to me one time when I was davening, and just all of a sudden it became more meaningful to me. Well, it wouldn't have happened had I not been saying the words and been trained to actually daven properly in the first place.
If I can just add a little bit to what Rabbi Kirshner said, I love the way you described it. And I totally agree. That's one of the most special chusim that we have, is being able to walk the halls and walk into davening rooms and hear the sweet tfilos of Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban is really, really incredible. I think the singing, the kids get very involved. We also do a lot of singing. The nice thing also is they also learn the words. When you sing it and you say it out loud, they learn the words. When you mumble, and everyone's supposed to be saying it quietly, and you mumble it, how many kids are actually saying it? Maybe if you're lucky, they're reading it with their eyes, but they're not actually learning how to say the words. And along those lines, giving students as much as possible leadership in davening. So of course, in the minyan, you could do that. But even in the younger grades, you have chazan, chazanit, give them roles where they could somehow take ownership. The more kids are involved, the more they feel a connection and they take it seriously. Like in the minyan, having a rotation where every single kid has to daven Sukkot Zimra, every single eighth grader has to lead Shacharis, the kids have to take a laning, they have to take a turn at Gabbai, that's the way they learn. That's the way they learn it, and that's the way they really get involved. There's a great maisa that happened where talk about like giving kids, leadership. Like we had a student who a little bit ago, yet last year, Nebuch, a classmate, had a serious medical situation. And the students themselves organized, this was, I guess it was on Zoom at the time, I'm trying to remember, it was like a night at Zoom, all organized to say Tehillim. And everyone got on the Zoom and chatting, and the kids organized it, and the kids helped lead. Of course, Sir Bay and Moros were helping, but the kids led it. So realizing like tefillah is a real thing, and like almost, I don't want to say taking advantage, but taking advantage of moments where we can show the kids it's not just coming in every day at 8 o'clock doing the routine parts of davening, but how davening could relate to my life, in a more spontaneous way and make it very real. And those kids are going to remember that experience for a very long time.
I love some of these images. I'm thinking back to my own days in elementary school, especially in camp. When you're at the mincha tent in day camp, right? If that's your, or there's Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'Secha Odel, depending on what camp you went to, right? That, it just sticks with you. Those nuschos, that tune, those words, they stick with you. But I think there are really two things. One thing that you said, Rabbi Kirshner, that I wanted to go back to, and one thing, Rabbi Linzer. Rabbi Kirshner, you alluded to the fact that in school, there are moments either before davening or after davening where you take a minute to review something, to learn something, to focus on that discussion. The idea of enhancing our davening by making time. How can we expect that we're going to enhance our davening if it doesn't become a priority? And we say, we're making time for this. And I think, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I think for all the adults who are watching right now, we can do that. Okay, maybe before the 6:15 shacharis, it's not an ideal time for learning. But maybe once a week when you're not rushed, if you can come a minute early or stay a minute late or at some time in the week, say, you know what? This is going to be my 90 seconds to learn about davening. It's a halacha of davening. I know I find learning in the kola, whenever we learn, right now actually learning Hilchos Tefillah in the afternoon, Be'iyun, halacha l'maisa, alibi d'ilchasa, my Shmon Esrei, totally different now because I learned the halachos. But also learning Sfarim that have to do with, you know, meditation, Rabbi Kaplan, Sfarim on the Siddur, whoever it is. But number one, the idea that adults also, maybe we should make some time. And it doesn't have to be more than 90 seconds to transform your davening. And coming to, back to Rabbi Linzer, the point that you started with maybe is something that we need to come back to as parents, which is davening is about the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? We should not confuse davening with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ends. Davening is the means. So if we confuse davening with sitting and saying words, and how many words did we say and did we not say, then we're not actually getting to the heart of what tefillah is. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his magnificent Sefer Sharm B'Tefillah, he says the definition of davening is feeling, standing, experiencing amida lefnei Hashem. You know, if you want to get fancy, you quote Rav Chaim Soloveitchik on the Rambam, which obviously in elementary school, that's what we're doing. I don't know if in third grade or fourth grade, we're getting to Rav Chaim. But the idea that it's about Hashem, how much conversation we having with Hashem in tefillah, but how much conversation are we having about Hashem or with Hashem the rest of the week? And maybe that conversation that we have at other times can spill over to our experience of davening.
I'd say every fifth through eighth grade girl at Ari Crown is sick of hearing me say, when I run the mincha every day, sick of hearing me say, just talk to Hashem. They sing Ashrei and then they get to Shmon Esrei. Before they start Shmon Esrei, I say to them, just talk to Hashem. That's the message. That's what you're here to do. Just do it. Just talk to Hashem. Brand, can I just throw something?
Please.
Just because you said we're giving a message to parents. So there is one thing that I've gotten accused of being a little too lenient with kids and their mistakes in davening and so on and so forth as their chazanim. That which Rabbi Linzer said before, and I fully back the concept of youth minyan and the concept of pushing the talmidim to be chazen and to daven and to be the bali kriya and to really take those leadership roles on. That is transformative for them, and that's really the goal. That's what we want for them. So I was watching a documentary from it must have been put out recently about the life of Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. And one of the things that they said, that was one of the ma'asim that they brought, was that I guess it was a bachur, got up to daven in yeshiva, and he really was like batching the chazar sashats, and you know, someone kept correcting him, and finally, like Rav David told him, like, stop, like he told the then. And they said, you know, Alocha Sofios, though, if you mess up the bracha itself, you know, bracha to Hashem chonein ados, you mess up that bracha, that's the actual bracha, how could he answer you? It's not bracha, you can't answer amen, whatever that locha is to it. And he said, Mevaish Pnei Rabbo, you know, the Rabbi, Pnei Chaveru, the Rabbi is a bigger deal. And we have to know this, you know, when kids get up and the kids finally, especially those that aren't comfortable, get the courage to get up and daven. And they get up to lane. So yes, there has to be with laning, there has to be a diktuk, and there has to be a diktuk when it comes to davening to an extent also. But the room to be makel should be used, and not to correct, and not to, you know, we always say by a bar mitzvah bacher, they always make the announcement, you know, there are people that are able to correct, everybody else shouldn't correct, and it's up to a few people. It should be by every bacher. If bacher likes to get up and daven, let him get up and daven. Go over to him afterwards and like help him out a little bit or show him you did a great job and direct him in the right way. Wonderful. But for everybody in the shul to start harping on Bali Tefillah and Bali Kriya, and making them feel bad about it, they're not going to get up and do it again. So we have to be very careful about that.
I'll tell you, Rabbi Krishna, I couldn't agree more. I feel like if a kid doesn't learn to daven, doesn't feel comfortable davening at this age, middle school or early high school, the chance of them getting up to daven ever again in their life is like slim to none, because the busha and the fear and the anxiety only goes up. We had a kid a bunch of years ago, sweet, sweet kid, really struggled with Hebrew, like reading and just had a learning disability. He was on the rotation. He had to daven Sukkot Zimra. He gets up, he davens, breaking his teeth every word. Davening took forever that day, and literally mistakes and breaking his teeth. The other kids, I was so impressed, sat there quietly, respectful, waiting. Like davening took an extra 15 minutes. Next month, again, the kid gets up, and again, excruciating. Next month, again, maybe a little better. Again, I will tell you, fast forward 2 years, by the time the kid was at the end of eighth grade, he was getting up, davening shacharis fluently for the Amud. So, you know, and now he has that skill and that ability and that confidence for the rest of his life. So that approach, what you're saying, I think it's so powerful.
I still remember, I don't want to harp on this too much, but I can tell you, I still remember when I was 13 years old, so I davened in our shtiebel one time, and it was shortly after my bar mitzvah, I think it was on a tinus, and I leaned and I butchered it. And I still remember, I don't think anybody even said anything to me at the time, but I remember that I felt like I made such a fool out of myself. Obviously, it wasn't such a big deal, but I remember the sense of horrific busha, of total humiliation. And I could still remember it today. And I don't think anybody even said anything. So the sensitivity that we need to have for these kids, I think it's a beautiful ha'ara that we didn't really plan on talking about, but I think it's a great ha'ara. And we could take them aside. And you know what? Instead of being the guy in the back of the shul who wants to shout out tikkunim, you know, what if you say to the kid afterwards, you know, during Kiddush, can I sit with you at the sitter? Let me help you with that. So, you know, kudos. I think that's really helpful. So I just shared a short vignette that just came back to me now. Any vignettes that you want to share that you would open up to about personal tefillah experiences that stuck with you over the years?
Rabbi Linzer's first. Unless you went called on me, I'm happy to talk to
her. I didn't call on anyone. I want to see
what's going
to
happen.
We have to ask the Rebbe's watching. Who's going to raise their... Wait a second. I think Rabbi Linzer, I think that was a hand raise because you scratched your head. I don't know, in school, do they call that a hand raise?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think, as I said before, I think you're talking about like personal. I think tefillah is very, very personal and very, it's really about your relationship with Hashem, right? And as you change over your course of your life and every minute to minute, the tefillah could change. So I certainly do remember certain tefillahs, even from being a young child, very, very powerful. When I took the time, I'm remembering now a story, you know, in a Yomim Noraim, I don't know, must have been in middle school. I don't remember exactly how old, but really reading this machzor for the first time, like carefully the English, like trying to understand little by little, you know, what every word means, and really like connecting into it, and many, many other occasions, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay, Rabbi Kirshner?
Yeah, there's a maisa that is told over that... I don't know who the person was, but I think I remember hearing the name, but I forgot that there was somebody that was with David Ben-Gurion in a meeting, and the meeting was extending a little bit long. Everyone's, you know this, Maisa. The meeting was extending a little bit long, and it was starting to get late, and the person had a daven mincha. And so they said, you know, Kvod Rosh Memshala, you know, do you mind if I step away for a few minutes to daven? Ben-Gurion said, for sure. So he gave him over, and you know, you're meeting with the prime minister. So he went over, and as we say, he davened up a mincha, and you know, came back 2 or 3 minutes later. And sat down, and the Rosh Memshala turned to him and said, "For that, you had to interrupt our meeting. like that's what you call, like that's what you call davening." So his response was, "Kvod Rosh Memshala, the fact that I do that three times a day means that every so often I have a tefillah that's very meaningful and powerful. And to that, you can be maskim." So I think to that extent, if I jog my memory to certain things, you try and find that, yes, on a daily basis, it's hard to keep the consistent kavana and the consistently to walk out every day and saying, what a davening. And we hope that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going to be able to say that. And different chagim, and like we said before, halal and things like that, we can say that. But I happen to have had a maisa recently. Actually, I'll go back first to I learned with a group, and I lived in St. Louis, I learned with a group of guys, like a lunch and learn type of thing, downtown St. Louis every week. So at one point we were talking about davening, and I remember we brought up this concept of, you know, let's pick one tefillah a week where we know that we're going to be able to daven a little bit better. So I told them, for me, it's Motzei Shabbos. And Motzei Shabbos, especially during the winter, you're not in a rush usually. You know, it's not so hectic. You know, if you're in a shul that says Ve'yitin L'cha, you don't say Ve'yitin L'cha, you for sure have extra time. So just use that opportunity to say, it's Motzei Shabbos, I want to set up my week for success. You know, some people, it will be Sunday morning. You know, whatever it is, like, just let me take that time to really have, like, and it's pre-planned, and it's premeditated. So I had this mice, like, I told the kids at school about 6-7 weeks ago that I had to go, I had to fly out somewhere. And I had a meeting at school, and I was, my plan was, I was supposed to leave the meeting, let's say it was about 1 o'clock, I was supposed to leave the meeting for a 3 o'clock flight. So I get to the airport, and assuming everything went well, I'd be able to daven mincha and then get on the plane. And I ended up leaving the meeting a little bit late, and I ended up, whatever, and then I ended up basically having to go straight to the plane. And I got on the plane, and I was like, oh shoot, I forgot to daven mincha. And I'm certainly not one that's going to stand up on a plane. And so I said, okay, I'm going to daven in my seat. And we talked about the fact that halachically that's a question, but if you're on a plane, and what can you do? And I said Ashrei, and I'm about to start Shmon Esrei, and I said, Kirshner, don't blow this. You got nothing. There's no Wi-Fi on right now. You got a 2-hour flight to New York. Like, don't blow this. And I stopped for a minute before I started Shmon Esrei, and I gathered some thoughts, and I haven't had a Shmon Esrei like that in a long time, where I stopped and I was able to really just talk to Hashem. And it was so powerful. Every word went slow. I wasn't in a rush. I had nowhere else to be. As we say, 30,000 feet in the air, there's nothing else to do. So I just used that opportunity. I think finding those opportunities is so important. That you know, whenever it is, it can be, you know, set aside the time that once a week, try every day, try three times a day, of course. That's what we all do. But setting aside finding those miyuchad times is very powerful.
So that's helpful to kind of curve the conversation a little bit toward the parents. Suggestions for modeling for parents. Rabbi Linzer, maybe you want to pick this up. You know, what can and should parents think about? Mothers, fathers, what can they be doing to model for their children? Because on the one hand, you alluded to before that there's a mila, of course, at certain times for kids to be in youth minyanim so that they can lead and they can participate in a very active way. On the other hand, for parents to model for their children, you could argue that that's in many respects even more valuable than certainly on a regular basis, the child not davening with their parents and davening at a youth minyan, especially if there's not so much supervision, you know, v'chule, v'chule. So what are things that moms and dads can and should be doing to help model tefillah for their children?
I think you kind of, you know, in the question itself, I think you kind of alluded to the answer. I think the idea of modeling, you know, there's the idea of, you know, do as I say or do as I do, right? So just telling the kids to daven is not going to go very far. Maybe if you're lucky, it'll help in that moment, maybe, but certainly won't go too far. I think, you know, do as I do and modeling for them is really the key. And to your question of youth minyan, this, that, you know, you have so many opportunities. You're talking about over the course of a long period of time that the kids are living at home. And so it's a balance and it's a combination of all those things. You know, certainly seeing parents daven is very powerful. You know, on the one hand, there's certainly a huge value in going to shul and seeing parents go to shul. At the same time, like during COVID, it was sort of presented an interesting opportunity because, you know, for a while, they couldn't go to shul. It took a while until shuls opened up. And even when they could, there was other challenges. So there was a lot more davening going on at home. And that presented a really nice opportunity for families to daven together, for children to see parents davening, to be around it more. There's a big value in that. Or if someone has to daven, you know, if a father, you know, can't make it to shul one morning, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. The silver lining of that, you know what? The kids see the father putting on tefillin in the dining room and davening at home. There's something really, you shouldn't feel too guilty about that. You're doing something very positive for chinuch of your children just by you davening at home and your child seeing you daven. I think that alone is probably like 75% of it. But I think it's like routines in the house, you know, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, like, okay, this is what we do the first thing in the morning, you know, even when we're on a trip, like you mentioned, on a plane, you know, in the airport, you know, like, that's what I mean, like sort of taking advantage of those unique opportunities. We find a gate that's a little bit empty and we dive in, you know, I don't know, like kids remember those things and that sends a message. I think the issue of Shabbos is a balance. I think the issue, I don't want to touch a hot issue, but the issue of groups, maybe I do want to touch a hot issue.
Oh, I had that on my list.
Okay, I'll yield. All right.
No, please. You be the bad guy.
You know, no, I think it's a double-edged, you know, issue. I think there's a lot of great things, and I think there has to be a balance with davening with one's children and bringing them into shul, at least, you know, and at what point does at what point do we make the transition and how? Because the groups are so amazing. They're too good. And it's hard to break that. So I don't have a great answer for that, but I think as a community, that's something for us to work on. But I would say, before I give it back to Rabbi Kirshner, I would say the other modeling, in addition to davening itself, is really this idea. If davening is really about a relationship with Hashem, then I think parents, for all of, and educators, not just parents, modeling what it means to be in a relationship with Hashem and talking about Hashem. And the more there's this like Hashem awareness in our lives and in our families and in our schools and our classrooms, the more natural the davening is going to be, because now like Hashem is part of my life. We talk about Hashem helping me with this, or I need this. You know, so when I go to davening, okay, now it's a chance to have that conversation with Hashem. So I think that's really, in a sense, the other kind of modeling that I think it's really important to consider. And I think, I don't know, from Jews, we don't talk about Hashem that much. You know, we do a lot of mitzvos and davening and learning, but we don't really talk about it that much. So, I mean, at Hillel Torah, we're actually doing this program now called Lifnai V'Lifnim, which is with Rav Zinger. A program he started from Israel, where it's about being training educators and parents and kids really to be more comfortable speaking about spirituality and sharing more personal stories and personal things. So the more we're comfortable opening up more and speaking about that, the easier davening is going to be.
Yeah, beautiful thoughts. Okay, so I was on the youth group thing. The other shul that I daven at, my family shul for decades and decades, Rabbi Small shul. So I remember Rabbi Aaron Small speaking, relatively recently, in the past few years, about the beauty of, you know, people get worked up a lot about kids in shul that are making noise and they're staring the davening and so on and so forth. And, you know, he talks about how his father used to love it. You know, Rabbi Michael Small used to love when the kids would be climbing along the mechitza or whatever it was. And at the end of the day, what are those kids seeing? Those kids are seeing people that are davening, and they're being part of the davening, and so on and so forth. And yes, there's a decorum that has to be taught to them. We talked about that before. There's the Surmei Ra that's taught to kids throughout. But when we just engage in the the dangerous part of, you know, sending our kids to a youth group because we want to daven. So we are showing them the message that davening is important to us. That's great, but we're not teaching them davening. And it's just that's it's even the concept of, you know, the Shabbos morning that was of a mother that was trying to daven in her living room while her kid was tugging on her skirt and showing her the lollipop stuck in their hair, whatever it was. So the kid was seeing their mother davening, and they saw davening beautifully. I have a video of my daughter from when she was a little kid, clearly mimicking what my wife's davening. And it's like, you know, it's the proudest thing. What else do you want? That's so exciting. How about my son should do it for me? But they all go to youth minyanim, so which I encourage. but to me, those things are lacking, and the concept of having children davening with minyanim or davening with their, you know, next to their fathers, or learning that when you go to shul is about being part of the davening aspect of shul. Although I remember once when I was youth director at Or Torah, Rav Steinsaltz came and spoke, and one of the messages that was part of his message was the opposite of that. It was that no, the word is not, we do say it's a base tefillah, but we call it a base kenesses, a place where we gather. And the place where we gather means that it's a social opportunity for people, and that's an important part of it. The fact that from Yidden are forced to live within a shchuna, that we have to live amongst each other and walk together to shul and live in the same neighborhoods because of Shabbos, it means that we are forced to have this base kinesis, this place that we gather, and that aspect is important. And to that extent, you can say, yeah, youth groups provide that opportunity for them. But everything else, I echo what Rabbi Linzer said, that it's all about the ABCs of, if you're davening and you're showing that this is chashuv to you, and you know, you don't have to drive yourself 100% crazy, but when you're going on a trip and you say, we're going on a place where we have minyanim, you know, some reason when I was saying Kaddish, I took trips to, you know, my trips were to I went to Toronto, I drove all the way to the East Coast, and somehow I managed to chop every Kaddish along the way. You know, wherever we stopped, we had, you know, we had minyanim, and things worked around minyanim. I'm not saying that has to be every trip, and I know there are plenty of people that would advocate that dafka that shouldn't be that way. But certainly that it's a given that we're stopping to daven. There's no question. That's the modeling that we do. And Adraba, those are the times, like we had in COVID also, those are the times to sit and daven benachas and take the extra few minutes. You know what? We're you know, in a hotel room, or we're in an Airbnb or whatever it is, and we don't have a minion around us. That gives us an extra 10, 15 minutes to daven, you know, our shachas. We're not going to be rushed along with a minion. So.
And maybe that actually kind of puts these two pieces together, which is that perhaps one of the Ikar elements here is just having the conversation. You know, whether or not the maskana is that we ended up in shul or we ended up at home, whether we ended up in the minyan or we ended up in the hotel, but was it a conversation about, are we going to be able to make a minyan? Why are we going to a place where it doesn't have a minyan? Is it a weekday? Is it a Shabbos? How else can we enhance the davening? The conversation gufa, you know, that conversation, Rabbi Linzer was talking about having the Ribbono Shel Olam as part of the conversation. Well, you know, where is the Ribbono Shel Olam in our conversations about the things that we do? And the vacation is a great example. All right, I can see that the clock is ticking, even though I'm certainly enjoying this time. So maybe, Rabbi Linzer, do you want to give us one last suggestion of resources that are there for parents who may be, and not just parents, anyone who's looking for more resources, who don't have as much a background in tefillah, or are looking for something that can help them grow their tefillah as a capstone to tonight's conversation?
Sure. This has been a great opportunity and really interesting. I think really just scratches the surface. I'm thinking of so many other ideas as we're talking. But to close, there's many great Siddurim and translations. There's some wonderful Koren published recently, some wonderful Koren educational developmental Siddurim. I think they're actually all good for adults too, not just for kids. I've read them and learned a lot from them. So I would definitely recommend, I think I may have one here. I would definitely recommend looking at those. Here's a really nice one for high school age kids, put together by Rabbi Jay Goldman's, and there's a weekday, there's a Shabbat. It's really good for adults too. But I would say even on a deeper level than that, really what davening is, you know, the Gemara calls Torah is Olam Haba and Tefillah is Olam Hazeh. You know, Tefillah is really about connecting with Hashem in this world. So one of the things that kind of to get back to what we talked about before about connect, you know, a special time of your life where you connected with davening. I used to think that davening like had to be something, I don't know, very, you know, like it had to, it was something very unattainable. And then what I learned as I got older was that it's really actually about whatever it is that you're thinking about, that you're worried about. Don't, that's not the distraction. That is the davening. Make that the davening. So the thing you're stressed about, let's say a meeting or a family situation or whatever it may be, turn that into the davening. Turn to Hashem and ask for help with that. You know, think about that more. So I really do believe that while, yes, you have to learn to say the words, you have to learn the halachos and all of that, but really ultimately at the root of it, davening is about relationship with Hashem. And that's something you don't need. No one should feel ourselves, myself as well. You know, we shouldn't feel we need any special training. You don't need to be in a shul. You don't need a sitter. You know, it's really about a conversation with Hashem. And I think we all need to, I need to remind myself sometimes of that as well. Like, you know, that thing that I'm stressed about, just turn that into the davening. And that brings Hashem into my life in a very, very real way, you know, wherever I could be.
That's very powerful. Thank you. Rabbi Kirshner?
Sure. So I definitely would say as far as sources, I'd be curious from the panel if you want to share what your go-to sitter is. But the sitter is the best source, I think, to learn davening. I find it interesting that when you look around, art scroll has definitely taken over a lot, and the regular art scroll sitter, you know, the Hebrew English sitter, is of the most invaluable resources. The amount of information there is incredible. Yet when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, my go-to is the Masuda. And it happens to be that when COVID was going on, my go-to was the Masuda, because that's when I had time to sit and daven, like we said before. I was able to just daven more benachas. So the Masuda to me it's there for me. You know, the things like the pathway to prayer and things like that. I see a lot of Masidur Meforosh. That's a new thing that's out there that people are using. That's all great. And just to echo also what Rabbi Linzer said before, the NCSY sitter, just to give a shout out, because I know my brother-in-law, Rabbi Greenland, was involved with that also, the NCSY Koren sitter, that's something to me that was, like, also, I use it a lot during COVID specifically, where you just take the time to learn from it and to read from it as a resource, just to learn. When it comes to actual davening, though, davening is not an intellectual pursuit, I'm sorry to say. Davening is a conversation with Hashem, as I think that's the message that Rabbi Linzer and I have both been giving the whole night. It's not a time to, you know, start analyzing the pathway to prayer or start analyzing, you know, the translations and things like that. It's a time to talk to Hashem, and the tefillos, as you get used to them more and more, they come to you. So all of these are great. As far as really learning the tefillos, if you want to learn the tefillos well, we've gone through Rav Schwab on prayer, which is invaluable, incredibly, incredibly powerful, inspirational. There's books out there, storybooks, portraits of prayer. Don't use it, because I use it for stories a lot. So, but if you want to sneak that book before, Tversky has a sefer on prayer. And like you said before, like Rabbi Brand said, it's the Sharm B'Tfilah, unbelievable. Power, there's plenty of resources out there. There's books, you know, shelves and shelves of books that are available on Tefillah.
Well, this is certainly, for me personally, a big chizuk. Thank you both for the time. Thank you for joining me. Thank you on behalf of all of us. And we look forward to continuing these conversations as part of our collective growth. And we're honored to really have both of you to share your thoughts. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Call all around. Thank you.
Thank you so much.